B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
This week, it's a Money in the Bank preview. Yes, WWE presents Money in the Bank on Sunday. Today, we're joined by Joe Murray from Over Under 98.5 Podcast. And if we have time, we'll talk about the Goldberg Undertaker match and the new AEW TV deal. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports, including Over Under 98.5. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Joe Murray, Mike Riley, let's start right off with the Money in the Bank men's ladder match for the briefcase. Contents is a contract for a world championship match at any time. Here are the combatants: Sami Zayn, Ricochet, Drew McIntyre, Baron Corbin, Ali, Finn Balor, Andrade, and Randy Orton. Joe, I'll start with you. What are the odds for the match winner? And then we'll go around and we'll ask who wins the match.
You got it. So the favorite for the Men's Money in the Bank 2019 is Drew McIntyre at minus 155 at the moment. And I'll just kind of scroll these off. Andrade is plus 250, Zayn plus 800, Ali 1200, Corbin 1200, Orton 15, Ricochet 15, Finn Balor 1700.
Joe, who are you picking?
Well, I think Drew McIntyre deserves the push. You've heard week after week him come out there and say that he hasn't had a championship opportunity. So I think as a true heel, he has that opportunity. But I think it's worth looking at some of the actual value in here. And I think Ricochet at 1500 would be a great push. But I'm going to go with Sami Zayn. The reason for that is he's a great heel. He's talking on the mic a lot lately. And I just feel like he's a guy that could chase someone around for at least another title shot. So he's plus 800 when it comes to that, Jimmy.
So if you're asking me for a prediction, I would pick Drew McIntyre to win because it feels like he's the next big guy that WWE wants to push for a title fight for Seth Rollins if he retains against AJ Styles. But I, too, Joe Murray, I want to see Sami Zayn win this briefcase because his promos since WrestleMania have been outstanding. And I have a scenario that as we move along in the podcast, I'm going to explain to you why I think it's the smartest thing for Sami Zayn to win the briefcase.
Let's not forget the Braun Strowman angle on that as well. He just knocked him off, so you can't just blow away Braun Strowman and not give Sami an opportunity.
Well, the problem with that is, guys, I was told this week because I asked, why is Braun Strowman out of this match? Quote, Vince is bored with him, unquote.
Whoa. Ugh. Why? You know, listen, they're not giving him a chance. They're not giving him a chance. How can you be bored with a guy if you're not giving him a chance? You're not letting him showcase his... I know he doesn't have the skills of the microphone, but give the guy the opportunity to do what he has to do. He won the Money in the Bank he had the briefcase last year. He cashed in, and that was a waste. Give him another opportunity. I'm not saying he should win the match, but he should not be bored with Braun Strowman. They are starting to bury that character.
Keep in mind, too, guys, that Vince just gets bored with people for no apparent reason. The reason why Baron Corbin lost the briefcase initially was Vince is like, I don't see it in him. I'm speculating on that one, but that's the story that I was told, is that they had Baron Corbin lose the briefcase in Providence before SummerSlam because he's like, I don't see it in him this week. Let's do this.
God.
Well, one of the big stories, guys, if you remember reading, is that WWE really thought they messed up on the Money in the Bank previous winner. So it feels like whoever they do give the title to or give the briefcase to this year, it has to have some sort of importance and some sort of long storyline. So, right. You know, if you look at all these competitors here, like, I don't think Orton does it again. Corbin would be a great choice just because they feel like they messed up on it. But that's why I feel like Sami Zayn could have that opportunity. The other thing is maybe Andrade gets that big push, you know, and he's somewhat of a heel. And sometimes these guys that are heels really do well when they, you know, as the Money in the Bank winner.
Yeah, and but you know what? I just think that, you know, that's why I'm going Drew McIntyre in this one. He's minus 155. I think that's actually a pretty good value for what else, for what everyone else has on the card there, too, for the odds. It just seems to be that he is getting that push there. He is the guy that will have that next title run. And I know Jimmy was going to talk about that, too. But he just seems like everything is lining up for him at a time where he was in the tag team. He learned with Dolph Ziggler. He knows how to work as best he can on the microphone. He seems to be that guy that...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Could be the next big... top big time superstar as a champion, and that's why I'm going Drew McIntyre.
Hey Jimmy, to throw something at you, Finn Balor is the lowest, has the lowest odds at +1700. The Intercontinental Champion's getting buried as far as the odds go.
That's probably why.
There you go.
That's probably why he's the Intercontinental Champion. Nobody thinks that they're going to put a briefcase with the Intercontinental Champion, even though, if memory serves, Rob Van Dam carried around the Intercontinental Championship along with the briefcase.
Yep.
Well,
I wouldn't sleep on Andrade because there are people that he's connected to who have strong political power, I'm told. Speaking of that, the women's briefcase, the winner of that ladder match gets a shot at either brand's women's championship. Here are the competitors: Natalia, Dana Brooke, Naomi, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Mandy Rose, God's greatest creation, Amber Moon, and Carmella. Joe, hit me with the odds.
So Mandy Rose is the favorite at +175.
Of course she is.
Followed by Bayley, Ember Moon, Alexa Bliss, Dana Brooke, Naomi, Carmella, and Natalya.
And what's what are the odd numbers for those ones there for Alexa Bliss and Natalya and all
Alexa
them?
Bliss is +650, Dana Brooke 950, Naomi's +1000, Mella's 1200, Natalya 1500.
You know what? So I think if you want to win some money, you want to have some serious thought of, you know, having a chance to win. But I think the less like opportunity to win is in that scenario for betting is Dana Brooke. I love the odds here, but I don't see her winning. You know, the tease of that push that she had when she went up against Ronda Rousey before WrestleMania, going for the title, saying she deserves it and so forth. She lost a lot of weight in great shape. But I think that you're going to see Alexa Bliss win that. And I like that. +650 for her. She is back from the concussion. She is ready to go as much as possible, you know, on a pitch count, as we've talked about here before. And I think that she's the best possible, you know, superstar to go up against Becky Lynch. You know, she's the best one to give Becky a good run for a championship. So Alexa Bliss is who I'm taking in the Money in the Bank for the women's side of that match.
So WWE hasn't put much focus on Ember Moon. So maybe there's some potential that they give her some sort of push. We don't really know much about her, right? At NXT, she was a star. She couldn't beat Asuka. Right. She finally did. She's been athletic. She's just kind of like a silent sleeper. I don't know if I'd love the move, but I'd love the fact that someone that came up from NXT, somebody that they could try to build around, push, and get to know, that's somebody I could look at. But it's clearly here. It's Mandy Rose, guys.
Like, God's greatest creation. Mandy? Let's go.
You mentioned it. And you know, she's a heel. She's beautiful. Yeah. Like, she can, they can just keep the briefcase on her like they did Carmella. Let's not forget. And, you know, the two-time Money in the Bank winner. But still, I feel like that's somebody that could, you know, some people, when they hold the championship, it means something. I feel like her with a briefcase would mean something.
So for me, I think Bayley is going to win this match. And the only reason why I think Bayley is going to is because it's revenge porn against Sasha Banks. WWE seems to kind of be booking for revenge rather than drawing money. So this is a way of saying, see, Sasha Banks, this could have been you. Instead, we're putting on Bayley. This is the push that you wanted, but we're giving it to your best friend.
And she could use that win too, Jimmy. She really could, because right now she's really been forgotten about as a singles competitor. You know, the women's tag team titles that her and Sasha Banks, the inaugural champions. So now she's back in that category as a single. So this would really kind of add some fuel to her in-ring performance as a singles competitor.
Also, one observation from her costume is that she had a blackish jacket in tribute to, I think, the evil Macho Man. So maybe
I saw it.
And her match against Charlotte, she felt a lot more aggressive on SmackDown a few weeks ago. So maybe that's an indication of what they can do with Bayley, is that she's no longer the lovable hugger, but she is the evil person who hugs you and then stabs you right in the back.
Ooh, I like it.
Ooh, not bad, Jimmy.
One other twist that I would add to this that we may have seen a sneak preview of Monday night is Nikki Cross, who is a personal favorite of mine because I dig crazy chicks. They're going to tell a really good story here with Nikki Cross being Alexa Bliss's friend. And Nikki Cross, tremendous character. If you've watched her on NXT, she does a lot more NXT UK stuff. And they could have Nikki Cross fight for Alexa Bliss and win the briefcase. And then tell this story about how it's Alexa's briefcase and Nikki doesn't understand how it's her briefcase, how it's Alexa's briefcase when Nikki won it. And they could just tell a story this summer between Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. And it establishes Nikki Cross as a viable character. And it would fit where I think she should be on the card, which is that Mick Foley Attitude Era player, where she cuts good promos, she has good matches, she's a little crazy, unpredictable, and she just slots in and she can be in the main event when you need her or helping get somebody else to the main event level when you need it. They won't do it because it's too creative.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I like that scenario. It's not bad, but I want to go. No, it's good. I like it. It's good. And let me throw something at you guys here too. With the in the situation that Dana Brooke wins, if she is to win, and maybe if Charlotte is to beat Becky Lynch for the SmackDown Women's Title, you could very easily move Dana Brooke to SmackDown and have her go after her former best friend Charlotte. Give her a little run for the money there in the main event status there. If she is to pull off the Money in the Bank win. Or I love the Bayley thing. You got me really thinking on that one there. But I'm really going with Alexa Bliss here. Comeback story for her, and I think it's the best heel scenario for Becky Lynch.
One thing I wanted to just throw in here was some prop bets. Now, guys, we have to agree, right, that whoever wins has to cash in, and there's an odd for that. If you think that there will be a successful cash in, the odds are -167. So that's one thing that you can throw out there.
Is that for either championship on Sunday night, or is that for one versus the other?
Men's and women's cash ins. And I say that has to happen because of the way WWE has handled it and the way they've talked about it.
What's that number again, Joe?
It's -1. So $167 would get you $100. And just to throw a couple others out there, you can bet the men's Money in the Bank briefcase owner will invoke their contract before or during SummerSlam at -230. But check this out. Before or during the first SmackDown on Fox, -400. And in the women's, and if you're aiming to bet on a woman's cash in, it's -335 before or during SummerSlam, -670 that it occurs before or during the first SmackDown on Fox.
And that's not till September, as we know.
And just check this out. You can bet that a woman from SmackDown will win on Sunday at -295.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Five for the women's, okay, to win.
So let me pose it to you guys. Do you guys think that there will be a cash in on Sunday on either the men's side or the women's side?
No.
Yes.
Okay, Mike, who do you think think cashes in?
I think you're going to see it's going to be on the women's side because Becky Lynch has two belts right now. Doesn't mean it will be a successful cash in, but I think it's going to be on the women's side, and that's why I think it's going to be Alexa Bliss going right for Becky Lynch. We saw it last year. She's going to try to do it again, make it two in a row, but I don't think it's going to happen, though. I think she will cash in, but not successfully.
If you want to play out a scenario that Alexa Bliss wins the briefcase and Becky Lynch has retained against Lacey Evans, and Charlotte then beats Becky Lynch, gets her ninth title reign. Alexa Bliss comes out, beats Charlotte. And now what you've done is you've created a new story on SmackDown that we've only seen one match of, and that is Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss, with Charlotte chasing Alexa Bliss for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
I would be okay with that. I think that's a good one.
The other one is you can have Bayley cash in if she wins and put her on Raw, and either way, I think we're going to see Becky one belt after Sunday.
Ooh. And we have odds on that, Jimmy, in transition, if you'd like.
Oh, please do.
Yeah.
All right. So right now,
I'm trying to be less structured on this program. I'm trying to be more conversational, less structured.
All right. So I'll run it here a little bit. The Raw Women's Championship will be defended against Lacey Evans, in which Lynch has odds set to win at -500. Now, we know that Lacey Evans is 2-0, guys. So unbeaten record, you know, that's pretty high, -500. The other match, obviously, we know is Becky versus Ric Flair. The odds on that one,
Flair.
Becky versus Ric Flair.
Thank you, ESPN.
Thank you for that one. just looking at it, Lynch is favored, but not by much. But if you look at it, 500 to 177. I know the opponents there, but I guess I'll ask you guys, and maybe Jimmy, you just said it. You think it's going to be Becky one belt? Can they carry really Becky two belts all this way and have her drop one of them at Money in the Bank?
Well, I think that Becky retains against Lacey Evans, and then she loses to Charlotte Flair, or there's a cash in during the SmackDown one. I can't see them keeping Becky with the two belts fighting two times a night. And it also, if she loses to Charlotte Flair, it separates them, which I think is something that is desperately needed. Because you can get quality out of that story anytime you want. But I think I could watch them fight every pay-per-view and be invested because I love both characters. But I think the common fan is like, ugh, these two again? So you have to, if you get the SmackDown title off of Becky Lynch, it goes to Charlotte Flair. You keep them separated until you need it again, which Rumble, Evolution, if there's another women's pay-per-view, or WrestleMania. That's what you got to do, I think.
I'm okay with that, but I still think that they're riding on the momentum of Becky Lynch. She's going to have the two championships by the end of the night. She's going to successfully defend against Charlotte and Lacey Evans, for that matter, and be successful on an attempted cash in there from Alexa Bliss, and that is just going to build up her character even more, why she's the best in the world. Here she is. She beats Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania, does this right here. She's going to hold the two belts for a while. I think it's just too much going on with her. They're still building up the Becky Lynch character. She comes out of Hartford with two championships still in her possession.
And three wins by your account, Mike.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think she wins both. But my whole thing here is they cannot bury Lacey Evans in this situation. They
I don't think they'll bury her, but I think she'll give her a hell of a match.
But her vignettes have been good. She had a good rumble when she was in there. Like, that's somebody that just can't lose. And all of a sudden, what, she goes into the back of the line? Like, WWE's done, as much as the heat as WWE gets about its writing and things of that degree, They have done a good job at Lacey Evans, and they need to be careful with that character.
Well, you could. I'll present you a few scenarios here. One is it's a disqualification finish, and that's how Becky retains, but it keeps Lacey strong. And you could have Charlotte do the run-in on it. Or you could have somebody attempting to cash in during the Raw women's match, and that's a way to protect it, much in the same way that Alexa Bliss did last year during the Ronda Rousey Nia Jax match. Does that sound right?
Yes, correct.
And that's a way that they protected Ronda Rousey, because Ronda Rousey was about to beat Nia Jax. And here comes Alexa Bliss to cash in, and that was that.
So would you have Alexa Bliss, or excuse me, Becky Lynch and Lacey Evans open up the night, or do you have Becky Charlotte open up the show? Becky's going to open up the show one of the matches. It has to.
I would have whichever briefcase is being cashed in open up the show. I would probably have the men's ladder match open up the show.
Would you really?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Because that builds anticipation for a cash in the whole night. And then you swerve you swerve them, bro, and you have the women cash in.
Joe, you got odds on what the opening match is going to be?
There isn't. And I wish WWE. So if you're listening out there, all the Bet Online people, we need more stuff like that when it comes to odds. Opening match, final match. Will there be a title change? We need all that stuff. So it's time for them to smarten up a little bit.
Okay. Fair enough. I like it. I'm excited for this show now after talking about the first two matches that that we have so far. I was really not looking forward to it too much. Not to say that I'm not too big into the Money in the Bank, but now I'm really into it. I'm really invested. Before, I wasn't so invested, but now I am ready for Sunday.
So while you guys are on that, and it's just we have an event this weekend, Money in the Bank. It's going to be locally in the New England area. Not a lot of buzz for it because of where it's at, but I just – we'll get into more Money in the Bank here, but don't you feel like over the last 2 weeks, it's been a little soft? And maybe Money in the – and I'm excited for it, but maybe Money in the Bank is where we get a little bit of a bang. We also know that there's – you know, there's an announcement today that I'm sure we'll get to in a bit. But, you know, WWE is giving the viewer an opportunity to look elsewhere. And I think this weekend they have an opportunity to make at least, you know, something to talk about on Monday morning.
Joe, I think the storytelling has been subpar since WrestleMania. I think what I find fascinating is WrestleMania gave you a babyface sweep as far as the big matches. Becky won, Kofi won, Seth Rollins won. And what they've done after that has been, has been kind of blah.
Gross.
Like, I'm excited for Sunday. I should make that clear. I'm very excited for Sunday. There are five matches that I really want to see. The two briefcase matches, the two women's matches, and Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles. I don't need a story to be invested in that. I'm a 30-year wrestling fan. I know who's good. Yep. I know who can be good. I know who's going to entertain me. But I think that based on viewership, so I guess maybe this expands to a bigger question. 18 years ago, there were 9 million viewers to Monday Night Raw. Now there are like 2 million viewers. So is this just all star power? Is this wrestling isn't good? Is this we're all longtime grizzled, angry veterans of the sport and we're down on the product?
Well, one thing to throw in there is John Cena this week got interviewed and he said, you know, it's not about the writers. The writers do a good job. It's the characters. So to answer your question, I think it's 100% the characters. And some guys know how to get over and some guys don't. And, you know, Mike, I know you like to get into that type of character. Like, you like polarizing figures. You know, Undertaker, you love all those guys. Is there a polarizing figure these days that – because AJ's because you could look at it. Other guys from other promotions have been successful, and AJ Styles is a big one. But has there been someone that they've created that's gotten over as a polarizing figure in the last 3 years?
Right. That's what exactly. WWE has not come through their system more or less. Maybe Roman Reigns if you want to go there. But, you know, Jimmy, I think you brought it up last week or the week before from our colleague at 985 Sports at Billy Laney. I think he hit the nail on the head with these guys are like, you know, middleweight superstars. They're not heavyweight guys. They're not
205 live guys is Billy's term. 205 live guys.
Yes. There you go. They're not big superstars. They're not larger than life figures. That's a big thing right there. And that is a problem for, I think, the way that they're interacting with fans and the connection and so forth. The other thing, too, I thought about this earlier, and we talk about the WrestleMania with the baby faces and so forth, and I'm going to keep harping on this until it actually happens. WrestleMania was 7 hours long, okay? 7 hours too long, and that has carried over into Monday Night Raw and a SmackDown to the point of people being burnt out from wrestling. And the storylines are just not connecting for what we are supposed to see because these guys not just – I don't see anything, any sort of next step as to what we're going to see in the storyline or arrival. It's not working right now. Cut it down. Less is more. Raw, obviously, it's 3 hours. We know we've talked about this before. I'll beat a dead horse on it till the day I die. Less is more. We don't need too much of it on the mic drop, in your face. Give me matches. Give me a little bit of the mic, but more in the ring.
Just to throw one more thing, can they stop starting shows with one guy talking, another guy coming in, and then two other guys coming in, and then they set a tag match? Like, for me, that's what kills me. I'm already too yes. out when I see that every week.
Hate it. Hate it.
Yeah, I agree. So, I think that they should. I would like to see them start with the announcer saying, this is what's coming up tonight, instead of here comes a promo that could be 3 minutes instead of 15.
Mm-hmm.
And going to commercials in the middle of matches. What sporting event do you watch that goes to a commercial in the middle of a match or in the middle of play? Like, does football go to commercial? No. They might do a pitcher-in-pitcher thing.
On a kickoff.
But
yeah,
I think that's another issue, too. And maybe Fox will change that. Who knows?
Yep. I hope so.
So the Universal Champ... So we're... Let me reset.
Yeah.
The Raw Women's Championship match, we both think that Becky Lynch retains that one.
Yes.
Yes.
The SmackDown Women's Championship. I'm picking Charlotte Flair, obviously. And you guys are picking Joe?
Becky.
Mike?
Becky Lynch, baby. Becky Lynch to the bank.
And we both. Sorry, that's force of habit. All three of us, do we think that the women's briefcase gets cashed in on?
No.
No. It will not be successful, but they will have a cash in and will not be successful, though.
So I don't think the women's briefcase...
And you think it will, though, Jimmy, huh?
I don't think the women's briefcase will be actually cashed in. I was just giving you scenarios. I was facilitating discussion there.
Yeah, and again,
I like it, Jimmy.
I think whoever wins has to cash in. I just don't think it has... I think whoever cashes in, they got to get a good little push.
So
yeah,
somebody who I think is going to cash in... Well, I shouldn't say that. What I would like to see happen is Sami Zayn win the men's match and then cash in during the Kofi Kingston-Kevin Owens match. The WWE title feels really stale right now. So Sami wins the case, Kevin Owens beats Kofi Kingston, or in the middle of the Kevin Owens-Kofi Kingston match, here comes Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn walks out as WWE champion.
Wow.
Kofi has had his moment. He had his moment at WrestleMania. We're all happy for him. But I think as a singles competitor, he's better as a chaser than a champion. So
100%.
Now what you've done is you put the title on Sami Zayn, who's been great. His promos have been excellent since WrestleMania. You have a built-in story with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens that is always quality. And then you can have Kofi Kingston be the third member of chasing for his rematch, or you can put him and Xavier Woods in the much-needed tag team division of SmackDown. Gentlemen, your thoughts?
There you go. 100%, because you know what? I thought the same thing, too, that Kofi Kingston, he is, you know, don't get me wrong, it was a great moment there at WrestleMania. He is, that chase was great. It was fantastic. Right now, though, what they need, you need to have a heel as the champion. Put it on Sami Zayn. Put it on a Kevin Owens. Put it on someone else. Anybody that has heat on them, because Daniel Bryan, give it to him. I don't care. Anybody that has heat on them, and you know I think it'd be great if Daniel Bryan screws over Kofi Kingston. That would be good too. And then get Kofi to, you know, tag team again with Xavier Woods, and then he and Eric Rowan, you know, work against each other on the New Day there for what they have so far.
So there's your tag team title program.
Yep.
There you go. Okay. So right now, yes, it is steel. It's very steel. You'd need to spice it up a little bit, a little hot sauce on it, if you will, with a heel there. I love Kofi Kingston, but he is much better as a dream chaser than the champion.
Well, the odds right now is Kofi's minus 200. So to me, that's kind of a strong favorite. I know some people might think it's light overall, but I said this to you guys over the WrestleMania podcast. I do not know how Kofi Kingston is a champion. They drag him out there every night. He represents the company well. He's athletic. It's all that, but there's what has moved the needle, right? If we've learned from anything from WrestleMania, what has truly moved the needle? I think Becky Two Belts has, but there was controversy, and you guys mentioned that in last week's show. But to me, what moves the needle? It's not Kofi Kingston, but I'll tell you this: Kevin Owens does, and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens—they're good television together. They are. This to me smells like someone's running in, Sami or Xavier Woods.
Do you want to know why I think? Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. Finish your thought.
I was going to say, to me, it sounds like a disqualification.
So, I think Kofi might have won because Daniel Bryan had an injury, and they weren't sure how long he was going to be out. There was some dirt sheet discussion about Daniel Bryan suffering a concussion. And whether it was before the match or whether it was during the match isn't clear, but that might be why Kofi Kingston actually won. And I say that because historically historically wrestling shows will always leave you with, okay, you get two out of the three good guys winning. You don't get all three.
Yeah.
This year they had all three, and maybe Kofi was the one who wasn't going to win. I mean, as it was, for the moment, I think they did the right thing by having all three of them win. But
without question,
having all three of them win is the exception to a big show rather than the rule of a big show. So I think there might have been an injury at play with Daniel Bryan. I don't know that. That is dirt sheet speculation.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they had to do something, right? I mean, if he was in, and I also heard that it was Daniel Bryan who wanted to put Kofi over. He just thought he was deserving of it. But the injury is clearly there. The other thing to throw in here, guys, is of the two titles that are up for, of the two championships between Seth and Kofi, you know, clearly the Kofi's championship, excuse me, that is the one that could be cashed in at plus 110. So of the two, that's the one that could get a cash in.
Wow.
Now, I mean, the other play with the cash in is you could do Drew McIntyre cashes in on the WWE championship. You just switch a wrestler because, I mean, the brand split is irrelevant.
So that would actually help the brand, wouldn't it?
I think so.
I think big time.
Yeah.
Big time. And that would be very good. That would be very enticing. You know, just something to pop back into my head, too, with the Kevin Owens scenario. I think, you know, Jimmy and I talked about this last week with guys that have had good promos. And I think we'll all agree with this. Kevin Owens, I think the best promos he had was leading up to WrestleMania, like that time there with WrestleMania 33 with Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was awesome. They were friends, and then he turns on him. We remember that. And you're going to remember something with Kevin Owens as a champion cutting the promos because we're not getting that right now.
We also got that vignette this week as well. They showed the Jericho.
Yes.
They showed everything. There, so maybe a little foreshadowing.
There you go. So think about that.
So let's go around the table real quick. Kofi Kingston, Kevin Owens, who walks out as WWE champ? Or let me say this. Who wins that championship match?
Kofi will retain the championship.
I think you got a new champion. You got Kevin Owens beating Kofi Kingston here. If Kofi is to win, he ain't going to hold it too much longer, but I got Kevin Owens on this one there.
I think Kevin Owens wins. Do we think there's a cash-in during this match?
No.
No, but the odds are the best opportunity, too.
So
really?
I say no, but I'm hoping it's Sami Zayn who cashes in.
That would be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles for the Universal Championship. And I want to make very clear that I want to see AJ Styles cheat his ass off and win this thing. And it's not because I have anything against Seth Rollins, but I want to see AJ Styles as a villain, and I want to see Gallows and Anderson help him win the championship. Hell, maybe Finn Balor comes in and helps him win the championship. I just want to see evil AJ Styles as the Universal Champion and go forward from there. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I think Seth Rollins is going to retain, but I'd like to see villain AJ Styles here.
I'd buy stock in that one in a heartbeat.
Well, if you want to buy stock in it, you can probably get it around $800. Right now, the pinfall odds are -560, and that is for Rollins to retain. So, you know, based off the odds here, the WWE is rolling with Seth Rollins in 2019. And, you know, I think that was the biggest takeaway from WrestleMania, right, is Brock Lesnar is no longer going to be there, and Vince McMahon needs to hitch his wagon to somebody, right? It's Seth Rollins here. Triple H has his back. He's the King Slayer. He's the Beast Slayer. I feel like this is a program that's going to go on for a while here between these two. But, you know, I wish we could have got this match on a bigger platform.
Thank you.
No offense to Money in the Bank or anything like that. This is something that should be highlighted that doesn't need a storyline like you mentioned, Jimmy. You know, for people who know about them 15 years ago, they fought. But here, like, there's no way there's a title change. There's no way you can have Seth Rollins beat Brock Lesnar and then lose to AJ Styles after coming over from a different brand. They need more building. This is something that we need. I don't want to use the Bret Shawn analogy, but, like, we need these two to go at it for a while. You know what I mean? Then go again at SummerSlam and then some other stipulation. To me, it's a little bit rushed. This is going to be – I hope this is a great match. I hope this isn't Nakamura, AJ Styles. To me, like, this is something I want to see for a long time.
Let me ask you guys, do you remember The Shield doing a triple threat match?
No. Oh, wait a minute. Was it on Raw?
It was at something called Battleground, I think.
Was Battleground?
See, I don't remember it, Jimmy. So, yes, you're right.
Yeah, so, I don't even know if I have the pay-per-view, but the point of me saying that is The Shield, three guys fighting against each other, should have been a WrestleMania main event. And it wasn't. It was put on Great Balls of Fire. It was put on Stomping Grounds. It was put on Battleground. It was put on some in-your-house special pay-per-view. And while I think Money in the Bank is your third most important pay-per-view of the year, too soon for this. Yeah. For me, it's WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, Money in the Bank. Those are the big three pay-per-views for me.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, does the WWE see it that way?
Oh, no. They think SummerSlam is number two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was Battleground 2016, that triple threat match there for The Shield. I mean, yeah. And you know, Money in the Bank should be one of your big four, if you will. If you want to go down that route there, you could very easily eliminate the Survivor Series, where this has been discussed here on this very show about the Survivor Series needing to have some sort of a stipulation. Because I know it's the second oldest pay-per-view, but Money in the Bank has kind of taken that that new spot there as the more prominent pay-per-view over Survivor Series. And good for WWE, because a year ago at this time, we were talking about how bad Backlash was. And they needed to change something up to get the Money in the Bank here, where it has traditionally been in June. So now you move up a month after WrestleMania. Good for them for doing that, and now it's their chance to really take a big advantage of it here. Make some moves, make something shocking here. I'm with you, though, Joe. I think it's still a little early for Seth Rollins and AJ Styles. Let it build up a little bit, because less is more, as I said.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any – do we think there's going to be a cash-in during this match?
No.
Nope.
No, I don't think so either. If there was, I think it would be Drew or Baron. And I tend to lean toward you, Joe, in that Seth Rollins is going to be the man with the Universal Championship for a while.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, because they've put him in the spot. They gave him a 90-minute match on Raw a year ago. He wins the Intercontinental Championship in New Orleans. He beats Triple H in Orlando. I mean, he's 2-0 against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Technically.
True. Good point.
So he's got that going for him. I know that I like villainous Seth Rollins a lot more than I like smiling, happy-go-lucky Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Villain Seth Rollins is fantastic. And villain AJ Styles is better too.
Yep. I want to see the club form and AJ win the championship, but I don't think that's going to happen. If you're asking me for a pick, it's Seth Rollins retains here. And I think we all agree on that.
Maybe it's SummerSlam.
Yep, Seth retains.
No, I have a theory that it's going to be like Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar for either the WWE Championship or the Universal Championship at SummerSlam, because of course it is, right?
Please, no.
Well, we talked about it, and you know what? At this point, I wouldn't be shocked, and I'd be decently okay with it. I wouldn't be in favor of it, but I wouldn't be shocked, and I would actually be invested in it. I would.
So those are the five matches that I'm interested in. Are you guys interested in any of the other matches, or are there any prop bets that should be brought to our attention?
I'll just throw a few things at you. Roman Reigns, Elias. Reigns is minus 340, Elias 220. That's another burial for Elias, right?
Yeah.
And I will say this, though. The one thing I do like is they have been pairing him with Shane, which gives him a little bit more cred. And then if you look at that, The Miz is minus 500 versus Shane McMahon. So The Miz is getting over, certainly. So you guys don't think that Elias or – I mean, do you think Shane beats The Miz here?
No.
I do. And then I think that The Miz will get his revenge against Shane at, say, SummerSlam or even next month, too, at the Extreme Rules. And his dad will be involved or something, yeah. You know?
Just to throw out something else here, guys, Money in the Bank history. I know you guys did a – you know, you mentioned who your favorite matches were in Money in the Bank. But if you had to give me – and you don't have to do a top five. But is there like a number one of who is the greatest Money in the Bank winner of all time?
I mean, it's hard. Don't you have to say CM Punk because he won it twice and he cashed in twice?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Kane, right? He had a couple good runs.
Daniel Bryan, didn't he? He cashed in at least once, right?
Yes, against Mark Henry, I believe. There was one where he cashed in on a big show, and I think he cashed in on Mark Henry, but they took that one back.
Okay. Yeah.
So I mean, I mean,
you could make the case that Seth Rollins had the greatest cash in ever because it was the WrestleMania main event.
Yep.
That was awesome. And the way it ended, too. Right up the air.
I wouldn't sleep on Rob Van Dam's cash in. I mean, I know he called his shot, but still, you challenge the champion in your building against your audience. I mean, that's pretty gutsy right there. But I mean, I would go with Punk. He won it twice. He cashed in successfully twice.
How about I know Edge had one.
Edge was the original. Edge was the original, and then he stole it from Ken Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy?
Ken Kennedy. Yep. Mr. Kennedy on SmackDown. That's
and
right.
And so, I think he cashed in on Cena and he cashed in on Undertaker. Does that sound right?
Cena was at New Year's Resolution with Edge, and was it the Undertaker? I don't remember.
How about Randy Orton? What about Randy Orton?
Ugh.
No, I know. So WWE actually did a top 10 list.
Okay.
And they had Edge at number one, Kane at number two. These are competitors, so not I shouldn't say winner. Chris Jericho was three, Orton four, Punk five, Bryan six, Dolph seven, Seth eight, Shelton Benjamin nine, and then Carmelo.
So they're going 10. Just based on attendance.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's what I throw out. Also, just another thing to throw out to you guys this week. How the hell are they in London and there's no British invasion? How the hell are there no British wrestlers getting involved? No, seriously. I want those guys introduced to the world, and we got no British invasion in London?
Oh, how about Walter defended the UK title against R-Truth? And Nikki Cross was in a four-way match.
Walter had a good match at the NXT TakeOver. So he should be getting more of a push there. Give him more of a push. You're right, Joe.
Pete Dunne is better.
One last thing, guys. Lars Sullivan, what's his status for Money in the Bank?
Sensitivity training.
They tried to get the interview. That wasn't happening.
Yeah, didn't work.
I'll tell you though, if we can say what he wants, I don't
know. Interference.
His tweets weren't great, and nobody approves of those, but I'm rooting for this kid. I am. And
are you?
Yeah, I really am, man. I love these comeback stories. Dude, like, if you know about him, like, the guy had a mental issue, came back. I'm sure we can tell why.
Right.
But the guy doesn't have to speak. And I just think if you want large individual that wreaks havoc that you just, you know, drool over, Vince McMahon does, I think Lars has it.
He's definitely got the size, and Vince, you can tell, already likes him from the promo they had last week, that's for sure.
I know his backstory. I'm happy he's at the spot. I don't want to see him in a main event picture. Have him as an undercard freak. And I mean freak as far as a freak performer, because isn't his finishing move the freak, or his nickname's the freak or something like that?
They're taking away that headbutt now, too. Probably. Him and Braun, though? Like, is that where
he is? That'd be fantastic. That'd be perfect. Perfect for both of them. You know, Braun has already built up the name. He's got the character. That'd be great for Lars Sullivan. Put him over a little bit. Help him out, right?
Yep.
So two things before we wrap up. I will assume that your Money in the Bank thoughts are all wrapped up.
Yes.
Mike, any more?
Wrapped up, baby.
All right, cool.
Wrapped up in the briefcase.
All right, let's roll through this. WWE announced their next big international event. The headline match is Bill Goldberg against The Undertaker. And I'm excited for this match because this is a dream match. This is a video game match. And I already know it's going to last 5 to 7 minutes, and I'm okay with that. You could actually, Joe, probably do prop bets for what's going to be longer, the match, Undertaker's entrance, or Goldberg's entrance. And by the way, I would take Undertaker's entrance as being the longest of the three.
I hope someone's listening. We need these odds, people.
But I would assume Taker is going over in this match unless there's a bigger plan for Goldberg, which we've kind of speculated about. I don't know. It still strikes me that WWE is signing wrestlers to big contracts just to have them sit on the bench or do like one random match here or one random match there. Mm-hmm. But I'm expecting a 5-minute car crash from Goldberg and Taker, and I'm here to watch it. Friday afternoon, I'm in.
If I can just throw something in here, please can Sting jump in this one. Like, I just for the hell of it. And let's throw this one out there, Jimmy. The two biggest streaks in wrestling history? I don't know. Is that true? Are these the two best streaks in wrestling history?
Yeah, well, that sounds right.
Sounds right. So two things there. With the whole Sting scenario, you know that he and Undertaker were supposed to go face-to-face at StarCast, but Undertaker's not going to be there now. So this could be a way for Vince to stick it to them and say, oh, we have Sting. He's in our Legends deal. We'll have him in this scenario here too. So I could see that. I also would not rule out an interference from Brock Lesnar. I really would not, because if this prince in Saudi Arabia wants big name guys there, he will get them there. And if he likes Brock Lesnar, he'll be in Saudi Arabia the first Friday of June.
I think Brock will be in there. I don't think they've announced Brock for a match, so I kind of anticipate him being in the 50-man Royal Rumble match.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, because they've announced three things so far. They've announced Triple H versus Randy Orton, which continues the Triple H I'm beating everybody before I retire tour. As far as people who I need to get wins over, Cena, Undertaker, Batista, why not Randy Orton? I think he'll pull 70-year-old Ric Flair out of retirement just for the sake of it.
Oh, God.
They've announced Goldberg versus Undertaker and a 50-man battle royal. So, I mean, who do you line up Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar there, or do you have Brock Lesnar in the Rumble?
I'm in on that, by the way.
So I am too.
I've been waiting for that match for a long time.
And they should have done it last year at SummerSlam.
Yeah, ship sailed though. But
because they had Roman Reigns beat Bobby Lashley beat Roman Reigns at a pay-per-view, and then they reversed it on Raw in like 2 weeks, and it should have been Bobby Lashley against Brock Lesnar at that SummerSlam last year. But, you know, what do I know?
Can you guys just explain what the Prince has to do with is he calling the shots? Is this a Vince?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Oh, yeah. He's paying a lot of money, Joe. He's paying Vince a lot of money. So whatever he wants, he gets, baby. Right, Jimmy?
Yeah. So, Joe, if you have $50 million, you can book a show wherever you want, and Vince McMahon will provide whatever superstars you'd like. And then you can sit in a nice comfy chair right on the hard camera and just, you know, enjoy the show.
Yep. And you know what? If he's a fan of you, there's a good chance you're going to be on that card too. So The Undertaker has, you know, at this stage of his career, one match a year, he's getting paid an absurd amount to go over to Saudi Arabia. He'll be there for that when the money's thrown at you. Trust me.
I'll make a gentleman's bet with you guys. I bet you the ratings are better for the Saudi show than the Money in the Bank show.
Wow. That's a hot take. Maybe in Saudi Arabia, but not the U.S. I'm going to disagree, Joe. Amen. Disagree.
Star power, baby.
Yeah, so there's something to be said about the star power.
I don't know. I just think that Friday afternoon, if you're going to go live off of that one, the first showing, I'm still going to stay with Money in the Bank. Better showcase than a Sunday night. You're not going up against the NFL either right now, too, so that's a plus for them.
Oh, and Game of Thrones is Sunday, but that's another story.
Oh, damn, I forgot
the
about that.
Final Game of Thrones.
I'm not a fan of GOT, so I don't fit in that category. So WWE is going to be on Sunday. I'm not in Hartford.
Game of Thrones is an HBO thing, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Now, do you think HBO would have interest in All Elite Wrestling? Or is that just strictly a Warner Brothers Turner property?
So you're ready for this? HBO gave up boxing this year.
Yeah.
You picked it up. And let's not forget that UFC now is a deal with ESPN. So HBO is available for sporting events. And we know Fox just made the deal with WWE. So I've never looked into that, Jimmy, but that's a good point. Now,
I don't know anything. I'm just asking.
Okay. I was going to say,
I'm facilitating discussion, guys.
I don't want to spoil the lead here, but does TNT have anything with HBO? I don't know.
I don't know either. But HBO having a wrestling company would be kind of cool. But I was kind of hoping that, like, I think I told you months ago that TNT was going to have AEW. I might have. I don't remember if I said it into a microphone or just gossip with people. But and
you mentioned it here.
It's not hard to figure out, right? So they officially announced their TV deal. I got the press release this morning. In the press release, it says later this year. I think it's October in prime time. I think it's 8 p.m. Tuesday nights. I think that's what their weekly television deal will be. And when there's an NBA conflict, it'll be on TBS. And it'll also stream on Warner's Media, Bleacher Report.
TNT Drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be there.
Yeah, all that family there. Yeah, and you know what? Then you have the option of going to True TV too, if necessary, TBS. It's all right there, all in that family. That's
like
a very powerful,
kind of like the NCAA tournament. Yep,
exactly. Yeah, it's a very powerful brand, and maybe CBS taps into it too. You never know, because they're holding hands. So if they get that, a lot of ratings on the TNT TBS stuff, you never know. It could go network with CBS down the line.
So I'm excited about this, guys. I've been hoping for another promotion for a while that is going to make an impact. I hate to use the term impact, but
they're another brand, Joe. They're not this brand. They're on Twitch.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this much though.
Eddie Edwards.
The Jericho promo today I thought was great. Yeah, we're coming to TNT, but Kenny Omega and his tie. Like, that's all Jericho needed to do. Show that he's working out. Mention something about Jericho, and I'm in. Like I am in on AEW.
Joe, you know why you're in? You know why you're in, Mike? Characters. Their characters tell their stories, and you don't feel like your time is being wasted. How long was Jericho's promo today?
Less than 90 seconds.
Okay. How long was Cody Rhodes' response to Dustin Rhodes? Less than 4 minutes.
1 minute. Yep. Perfect. It's a home run. Short and sweet. Again, the third time I've said on the show, less is more, kids.
Investment, personal investment. You don't need 15 minutes for six guys to come out and just holler at each other. You can talk to people in normal voices and do it in 90 seconds. 90 seconds, no commercials, just the headlines. That's all you need.
Yep, that's it.
But this is good. So, the thing that I am worried about, though, is when they've done these events, they haven't been trending on Google or Twitter or social media. So the Young Bucks being Elite show, this week's episode, which I recommend you guys go and watch at least the first 2 minutes of. Great yep. entertainment. It had 113,000 yep. views, right? So you take wow. a little bit out because people rewatch it, things like that. So say that number is actually 75,000 views. It's still a good number. But how does that translate to a television show? Because we all remember TNA, and they just had a 1.0 rating for all the years that they were on their network. Yep. They didn't yep. really make a dent. So that's my concern, is that a lot of this is social media, internet buzz, which doesn't actually transfer to ratings, money, all that stuff.
But see, that's where I disagree. And I feel like they do have, you know, I don't know all the characters, clearly, you know, because of New Japan or Ring of Honor or anything like that. But, you know, the fact that I know that there's going to be new wrestling, I'm going to take my eye off of what I know, you know, and watch something different. And I feel like that's what WWE has opened up here. And I think that's why Vince is nervous, guys. I think that it gives, they've now given us an alternative to look elsewhere.
Yeah, and you know what? And obviously, we've said it before, it's going to take time. You have to look at it from AEW's standpoint that they're going to be David trying to take down Goliath, and they have to go that extra mile to make the product better, and that's why competition is the best thing going forward here for both of us.
So, Joe, to counter your point, Sinclair Broadcasting, I believe, is the biggest broadcasting company in the States. If that's not true, somebody please correct me, but I think they are. And okay. how much has Ring of Honor really improved since they've been, as far as an attendance-wise or as far as a dollar value-wise, since they're on this big broadcasting network? They seem to have peaked with Cody, the Bucks, Kenny Omega, and that was Omega doing like a match when he felt like it, and if he didn't want to cross the border, he just didn't. But they have kind of taken a step back. So, you know, promotion is going to be huge for this, and their distribution. Like, is Turner bigger than Sinclair? I'm not sure. But, I mean, I want it to be successful. I'm curious, and I don't feel confident enough that it's going to break in and be a close number two to WWE. I think it's going to be more in the same pack as Ring of Honor, New Japan, Impact, what TNA was, what ECW might have been.
Hey. Yeah, and listen, yeah. And right now, I mean, you guys do this every single week, right? Media buzz is big, and you know.
Oh, Joe, don't bury yourself. You listen. You're a wrestling fan.
Come on, Joe.
You guys do this every week. Like, the buzz is big. And if there's one thing I've learned about WWE is we make the buzz. It's our own fault. We create it. The writers don't do it. And again, we talked about this earlier, but I do think it's the performers. And I think AEW has at least some polarizing figures when it comes to their performers. And I think that's what makes it must-watch television.
Yeah. And, you know, the drama effect. And now, you know, even talking about this Money in the Bank show on Sunday, and not having too much investment in it going into this show that we're recording as of now, now talking about it and wanting to see what's going to pan out, that is what grabs the viewer right there, wanting to see the storyline, what is going to be the finish, who's going to interfere, who's going to cash in, and so forth. That is how you garner the ratings, and that's how you got to keep it alive, keep that suspense going.
And one other thing that I think people forget about why WCW Nitro was so successful is they had a generation of Sting yep. and Flair and the NWA, Jim Crockett Promotions, all that stuff. So yep. when they went from 6:05 on Saturday night to Monday nights at 8, people knew to go there because they had been watching TBS for so many years. Now you have a straight internet promotion that it's got the finances, it's got Turner on its side, but I have worries that the hype of this isn't going to meet what it actually does, and it's just going to be another number two wrestling company, and a number two wrestling company that just kind of has its own niche.
Well, you know what? I think that should be AEW's mindset going into it. They can't look at it like they are going to be in the same level playing field as WWE right now. They have to look at it with the fact that they have a long way to go, because you know this, when you have high expectations and if it comes back with egg on your face, that's a major disappointment. So it's better to be the underdog and then, you know, kind of show everyone that you're wrong and so forth going into it. So that's the mindset they got to have. It's the only way they're going to succeed.
But they have the money of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have an NFL owner. They should.
But that doesn't,
their long-term goal should be beating Vince.
They got the money of that, but look at the WWE. They got the money of the Prince in Saudi Arabia for two shows. Do you, or at least, yeah, two of them, the Crown Jewel and the Greatest Royal Rumble. What do you remember from those two pay-per-views? Anything?
Oh, yeah. I remember Daniel Bryan going an hour and 20 minutes. I remember Braun Strowman winning that. I remember the hokey finish to the Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns steel cage match. I remember Shawn Michaels being bald in a tag team match and saying to Hunter Hurst Helmsley, I'm done. I remember
that was Australia.
Undertaker and Triple H just slugging their way through, and Triple H intentionally making Undertaker look bad. There being an interference. Would you like me to stop?
Well, yeah, but are these the best moments? Come on. I mean, do you seriously remember? I mean, sure, that happened within the last year, but are you really going to remember that 20 years from now?
Like, I remember AJ Styles and Samoa Joe having a clunky finish. Or was that Australia too?
Boring finish. I think, you know what? I take that back. The Undertaker and Kane versus Shawn and Triple H was Saudi Arabia in November. That was a November show there in that
Thank
one.
Thank you.
But, you know, I'm not. Yeah, so these international shows with all the money thrown at you, just like Tony Khan having all the money, doesn't mean you're going to make that impact right away. I think it's going to a long way to go, build up the foundation, and then hopefully they're able to compete in the same level playing field down the line.
Joe?
That's all I got to say about that.
Joe, would you like to follow up?
You know, we got Money in the Bank this weekend. I'm looking ahead a little bit down the line, what's going to happen at, and I'm already kind of looking ahead to SummerSlam here. And I'm interested in AEW. Just another, listen, Impact's out there, right? Ring of Honor's out there. But I'm telling you, man, this thing's been hyped enough to where people are going to tune in. And I think they have smart people in charge there. And I don't know. Don't you guys like, I like Cody Rhodes. Don't you? Like, I want to support that guy.
Joe, are you going to pay $50 for the pay-per-view? So you hesitated there. You hesitated there, Joe.
Well, you know what it is. I can illegally stream it, but I'm not going to say that on the air. But I just did.
I'm going to use one of Joe Murray's lines. I am in on the pay per view. Jimmy, are you in?
Oh yeah, I'm double or nothing.
You're such a company man.
I try to promote when I can. So, I mean, if I had the opportunity, I'd go to Las Vegas for this thing.
Yeah.
Mike, you're a Vegas veteran. No, why aren't you going to Las Vegas?
I told you, it's not in the cards this time around. So next time.
Come on, StarCast with 2Rs.com. They have some travel packages that we can get you in on.
I know. We'll have to talk to it. Yeah, talk to the people behind the scenes on that one. So
No.
Next time around, I'll save my money.
I'll reach out to Conrad on your behalf if you'd like, and we'll see what we can do.
All right, if I can get some good prop bets from Joe Murray, show him what to do with the sports book. What do you say?
Joe, should I reach out to Conrad? Do you want to go with him? Do you want to get you two on a plane?
Let's go.
Conrad, the Conradison.
You know, I'm always in Vegas.
You can't turn it down.
And then you know what? We'll get Lifshatz, your usual partner on Over-Under, and he can be the wild card out there.
Oh, God. The guy knows nothing about wrestling, but he'll bet on it.
Oh, he will. He's asked me for who he should bet on in the past.
No betting at all. Yeah. Hey, fun show, guys. I'm looking forward to Money in the Bank. I'm ready for Money in the Bank.
I'm looking forward to this show. I really am. There are five matches that I really want to see, and I'm excited for it. And by the way, the pre-show match I want to see too, the Usos against Daniel Bryan and Rowan. Like I mean, that's a match that makes no logical sense, but as I was told today by somebody who I trust, there was no long-term plan for that. So they just kind of threw it together because they don't plan.
Oh, God, it's a Raw on a SmackDown competition. Yep, there goes your inner brand again.
But, you know, the Revival, they get to be made fun of because they turn down big contracts. Joe Murray, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. My favorite podcast.
Oh, I love it. I love you for saying that. Next week, we'll recap the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. It'll be during the week because I will be attending the show live. And if you see me at the show, please come by and say hello. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Joe Murray of the Over Under 985 podcast, he is at Joey Murr on Twitter. For Mike Riley, who is at Sarge985 on Twitter, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. We will talk to you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.